today on Anchored in the Word.
A lot of us are going around with a heavy burden on us that is self-inflicted. You're carrying something that you were never intended to carry. It's not something that the Lord's ordered you to carry. You've taken it upon yourself. You've taken on, and you are seeking to be the Christ. You are seeking to do things that you have not been called to do. He wants to use you as a vessel, yes, but he doesn't want you to do anything in your own strength.
But I'm anchored deep in your clinging love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Have you ever felt weighed down or overburdened by a situation? Or maybe you've been overwhelmed in the past by a certain ministry or outreach? This probably made you question Jesus' claim that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. However, Pastor Bill will teach you in his message today that chances are you're relying on your own strength rather than God's. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now here's Pastor Bill in Acts chapter 14 with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
Our default in the flesh is to be in control. Our default is to make things happen. I know I'm speaking to myself definitely, but I know I'm speaking to a lot of you out there too. You know, you want to be in control. It's proven when you're very young, you see children want to dress themselves, right? You've had young kids. They want to dress themselves and they're not good at matching or anything else, but they want to dress themselves. They want to do it. This independent spirit, they want to be in control. And that's part of the flesh. Now, that's our default, even as we grow up. And when we come to Christ, what we've done is that we have given that over. You know, people talk about my rights. I got rights. If you're in the kingdom of God, you have no rights. You are a slave, a bond slave in the sense that you have chosen that. But you are not, you have no rights in the kingdom. You're a servant is what you are. And that's just the way it is. We have a king. His name is Jesus. He's in control. He's still sovereign over the whole world. And he has chosen to employ us in his ministry. He employs us in his ministry. And we have to understand that this idea of what John the Baptist said, I'm not the Christ. And understand that there are times that we act like we are. Now, here's the problem with that. One problem with that. There's no peace in that. There's no peace in that when I'm trying to do God's part in a situation. Listen what Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says. Jesus speaking, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't that sound good? Rest for your souls. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, you hear things all the time about people burning out. You know, I even hear, you know, pastoral burnout. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that pastoral burnout is possible, but you're taking a yoke on you that was never intended for you. Because Jesus's yoke is easy and light. And that means that, you know, yoking is something where what you do with an animal, where you put it over, it's over two animals at least, and they go side by side, and you walk with them. And the Lord says, my yoke is easy. You know, what I've called you to do, how I've employed you, if you walk with me, the burden's going to be light. And here's what I would say to you. A lot of us are going around with a heavy burden on us that is self-inflicted. You're carrying something that you were never intended to carry. It's not something that the Lord's ordered you to carry. You've taken it upon yourself. You've taken on and you are seeking to be the Christ. You are seeking to do things that you have not been called to do. He wants to use you as a vessel, yes, but he doesn't want you to do anything in your own strength. The Bible says, apart from him, we can do no thing. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we do that. We cross over. We take more on than we desire. And how I want to say this is this way. It manifests itself by holding on to things when we should be turning them loose or commending them to God, letting them go. Now, I want you to see something that in verse 23 that it says that Paul and Barnabas were involved in. As they're appointing, this is the huge thing, to appoint elders to a church. But what you're really looking for is having eyes to see the people that God is raising up. You know, we ordain people in the sense that there's an ordination. I have an ordination paper that I got from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. But they made it clear that they don't ordain anybody in the sense that they recognize what God has ordained or whom God has ordained. They recognize that through just being around and seeing God's hand on you. And they acknowledge that, and it's more of a necessary, I don't know if it's necessarily a legal thing. Nobody's ever asked me for my papers. Every now and then, I don't even have an ID card anymore. I had one for a while, but they used to ask me for that when I go to the hospital sometime. Do you have an ID card? No, I've got my Bible. Do you have anything? I got my business card. They'll take that. But it's paper. But they recognized somewhere along the line that God was doing something. God was appointing and anointing, and man recognized it. But I want you to see something here. That is an indicator. This is a key indicator into a person's life. It's a key indicator into a church's life. It's a key indicator even to a nation's life, even to if they are depending on their own strength, which will end to burnout, which will end to a heavy yoke, which will end up being a burden, or a depending in God's strength. And that indicator is prayer. That's the indicator. It says there that they prayed and they fasted. Those two go together. You don't fast without prayer. Fasting is generally, they're talking about not eating, starving the flesh, and then putting on seeking God. Those two things. And prayer is an indicator in a Christian's life, whether he's relying on his own strength or he's relying on God's strength. The less that you pray, the more that you rely upon yourself. That's just what it indicates. It's an indicator in your life. So if you find yourself not praying on a regular basis, you can know that you're living a life of self-reliance. I'm not saying you don't acknowledge God, but you are basically doing things in your own strength. Because praying is talking to God and hearing from God. It's being in communion with God. That's what prayer is. And it's something that you know that you're doing. It's not just something that happens automatically necessarily. You know, like when you're having a conversation with someone, a person, you know that. You're aware of that, right? And to be a listener, you must actively be listening. So it doesn't happen by accident. You have something to say about that. You see, in the kingdom, you do have free will and you do have a part to play. I'm saying to you that we need to play our part and not God's part. That's what we see modeled before us is in the book of Acts, that people, not perfect people, Paul wasn't a perfect person, Barnabas wasn't a perfect person, but they, at the very beginning, learned from others and saw and experienced, this is the way. Apart from him, when they wrote this, they knew it. They lived it. I could do nothing. They knew that. They knew that. And so we see that they prayed. That's an indicator whether I'm relying in my own strength and doing things my own way, or I'm letting God do things. And so I'm not telling you don't do anything. I'm saying pray about all things. And then God will show you what the next step is. That's where it happens. That's how you find God's will. That's how you walk in God's will, by being in communion with him through prayer. And so we see that they prayed. And then as a result of that, they commended, they let go. They knew that these are the guys they selected, and they were just saying, okay, you guys, they commended him. It says, and real key, it says, to the one in whom they believe. They gave him over to Jesus. And you have to do that with your family members. Those of you that have been praying for your family members for years, and you can sit and you can worry. That's what it does. When you sit and you think, oh no, they're getting older, and I go through this. I feel like I got to make a trip. I got certain places that I need to go. And I've actually taken a couple of these trips. And I think I did it sometimes out of worry. I don't know. And I get there and seemingly, well, nothing really changed. You know what I mean? It's like, because you care about people, you know, and you, but what I can do, it's even more powerful than going somewhere, is praying for them on a regular basis, and then giving over to God. That's his job, not my job. There's a line there that we can cross when it comes to, you know, when we're praying. That's where the power's at. And in that, as I'm praying, God will show me what I'm supposed to do next. Not by worrying. You know, that's what happens when I find myself. That's another indicator, by the way. If I find myself worrying, there's a lack of faith there. And here's what I would say to you. It's a temptation to worry. And I would say to you, when you see yourself going down that road, choose instead to worship. And that means back off and say, just remind yourself, who's in control here? You're in control. Is that why you're worrying? Because things aren't seemingly working out. Wait a second. What about the one that's given us all the promises, who's in control of the universe? You know, there are a lot of people right now in this world, in our culture, that are worried about climate change, seriously worried about it. They would say that these are smart people. They would say it's the biggest problem that we have right now. They're saying that. Why do you think they're saying that? Because they believe it. They're worried about it. Now, I would say to you, here's the problem. This is why they're worried about it. Because they've lost or don't believe the fact that God created the universe. Think about that. If God created this universe, all right, do you think he was wise enough to do it in such a way that he could maintain the thing, you know, because the Bible, there's a promise, by the way, in the Word. I can just, those of you that believe the Bible says as long as the earth remains, summer and winter, spring and fall, that's all, harvest is going to happen. In other words, it's not going to end with catastrophe because we, you know, and by the way, the people believe that it's man's fault that this is happening because we're doing the fossil fuels and all this stuff. I'm telling you that they're worried about things, first of all, that they can't change. Even if there is such a thing, and I'm not, you know, let's say that there is such a thing and this is happening and eventually it's going to be catastrophic. This is the problem. And this is what someone's pointed out logically. Okay, so one nation gets together and they regulate themselves and everything else. What about the rest of the world? There are more polluters in the world than we are, and they're not interested in it. They're not going to get on board. So the question becomes, how much can you really do? If that's even a problem, are you going to fix it? You're going to save the world. Boy, that's the Christ complex, isn't it? You're going to save the world, save the planet. Who are you? You're not God. You're not the Christ. He saves the world. You see what I'm getting at? I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you, this is the way that we think as people. And don't look at climate change, people that are worried about that. Look at your own life, whatever you're worried about. It's the same thing, but it's a different thing, but it's the same idea. There are things you're worried about in your life that you can't really change anyway because you're not God. And we worry about those things. And what I'm saying to you this morning is instead of worrying, worship instead. It's a choice that we make to worship, and that means to trust God. Remember last week we talked about this idea. Remember when Paul saw that this man had enough faith to be healed? He said, jump up. And, you know, the guy was crippled, and he just jumped and leaped up. And man, the people says, oh, gods have come down. They started worshiping Paul and Barnabas, right? And then they were gonna do a sacrifice for him. And Paul, man, Paul's beside himself. He says, we're just men just like you are. And he realizes, well, I got a problem here right now. It's not working out the way that I thought it might, you know? And then he goes into telling them who God is. He says, he's the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea. He's the creator. That thought alone. In other words, he initiated everything that we see, including you, this earth, moon, and the stars. If you take that idea and just think, well, yeah, if he did that. And by the way, he made it out of nothing. He made something out of nothing. Quite a big something, too, by the way. He made something out of nothing. You try that sometime. You try that sometime. Remember this story where some guys got together, and I think they were doing cloning or something like that. And we're going to have God, he was going to challenge God to making people. That's what it was, making people. And I'm going to butcher this because I didn't. But anyway, here's what happened. So the scientist takes some of the dirt and God goes, oh, wait a second, wait, you gotta get your own dirt. Right? Because he made the dirt. He makes something out of nothing. Think about that for a while. I mean, people can be creative, right? And I think about a building. It's you ever think about a building? Everything here, all this wood, the wood stuff I'm talking about, and it came from a seed. Think about that. It was a seed at one time. A tree grew. You take a tree, you got to rearrange it, cut it, you know, everything else, do it. You stain it and you do everything to it. The 2x4s, you shape them and you put them in the wall. But it had to come from somewhere. You know, we didn't start that thing. We just took it and we rearranged it and created it and made something, but we didn't make it out of nothing. We had to start with something. We had to start with something. Now, God is the only one in the universe that can make something out of nothing. And that's pretty amazing. Now, the one that can make something out of nothing, there's only one of him. And think about, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for him? One of the things that's said about him is he does all things well. Now, you do some things okay. Some things you do okay at. Some things you may do better than others, but you don't do all things well. You don't do all things well. You may do some things well, but you don't do all things well. There's only one of him. He does all things well. And the question is, why wouldn't we want him to do? He says, I want to do for you. I want to do for you, and I want to do through you. So why wouldn't we want him to do it if he does all things well? Don't we like things done well? I mean, I think most of us, no, I just like mediocre. I'm just shooting for mediocre. Well, the truth be known, I want the stuff done, whatever we do, I want it done well. You know, sometimes it's so much work, it's not worth doing it well, right, or whatever. But God says, I do all things well. And I don't think we don't hear anything in the book of Genesis about God struggled to make the stars. Man, that was a hard one. To get that sun up there, man, that was, you know how hard that was? And then, of course, after the 6 days, it says God took, well, he was tired, of course, because he needed to take a nap after that. That was a lot of work. No. Well, he wasn't tired at all. That we don't have any indication at all that God was tired. He was resting because he was showing us that we need to work 6 days and rest a day. He was setting up the work week for us, okay? That was the idea behind that. He was doing it to show us something, to set up something. It never says that God was wiped out after that. He was about ready to burn out, so he had to take a day off. No. That's can happen to people, but he does all things well. Now, so he commends them to the Lord, and then verse 24 says, now they start their journey back. Paul and Barnabas are coming back. They've commended that the churches to the Lord. It was his church. They're his people. They continue, I'm sure, to pray. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch. That's where they started, from Antioch. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now, this is, you look at verse 26 and you say, now, where's God's part? Because it says that they completed the work, right? That's what it says. But look what it says. It says, from there they sailed, and it says, when they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So what I'm saying to you is there's a relationship here that God wants to have with us in the kingdom. He wants us to be involved in this. And what I'm talking about this morning is how much of it are we really, you know, responsible for, and how much of it is God? You know what I'm saying? How do we find that place where I'm not trying to do his work? And I like this illustration. It's a great one. Pastor Brian Broderson said this one time when his children were younger. One of his boys was young. He was having to do the thing that we all hate to do as men, I think. I mean, get under the sink and fix the faucet, right? I mean, or fix the, yeah, that's just a horrible thing. I mean, it's just hard. Water leaking down your face. Your neck is stiff because, you know, you got the cabinet there and you have to lay there and looking up and it's dark in there and it smells from the stuff you've had under the sink, right? It's a hard job to do. So he's doing this at the house. They have a, you know, and it's not something you can say, oh, don't worry, we can let that go for a while. You can't let your kitchen sink go for a while. You know, it's leaking. It's so he's under there working, and lo and behold, as hard as it is, you know, that usually entails a couple trips to the hardware store, you know, because you never have the right stuff or whatever, seemingly, when you're doing a plumbing job. So he's under there, and here comes his little son, wants to crawl up on top of daddy's just to help him with the work, with the plumbing job. Now, that is the cutest thing you could ever imagine, right? Little Sonny wants to help daddy with the job. I mean, that's cute. But here's the reality to it. This is not going to be help. It really isn't. Not in the short term anyway. It may help, you know, not in the short term when the 4 or 5 or 6 year old wants to get involved in the plumbing job. He's not going to be a help. The truth is he's going to be a hindrance. As far as the work goes, as far as fixing the faucet goes, he's going to be a hindrance. And I would say to you in that illustration, the picture is this is the relationship that we have with the Father. The reality is in the work of God, we are a hindrance in a sense. I mean, we slow the work down more than we speed it up. Sometimes we think we're the greatest thing. And when we get to heaven, man, heaven's going to be a better place because we are there. The truth of the matter is God does all things well. And he's employed you in the work. And the amazing thing is that he can get anything done with us, with the things that are going on in us. But God desires to do this. It's the love relationship. That moment in time when the son crawls up on the dad and that relationship that they have. Yeah, come on, son. Come on, give me a hand. Yeah, let me show you a little bit about plumbing. You know, you need to know this. And even though it's going to take you longer now, it's more of a job now. But it's precious, though, isn't it? That interaction that's happening. And I want you to know something. When it comes to the work of God, think about this for a moment. It's not so much the end result that God cares about, because he's going to get that done anyway. It's the process.
We're so glad you joined us today in our continuing verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. We pray Pastor Bill Beckelman's message has been an encouragement, that you're finding strength in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. For more teachings from Pastor Bill, we invite you to visit our website at anchoredintheword.com. You can listen to and download a wide range of previous broadcasts that Pastor Bill has shared from God's Word. Did you know you can take these teachings with you on the go as well? We've created a mobile app to allow you to have sound doctrine available wherever you and your smart device happen to be. This is a great way to turn the mundane tasks of life into a faith-building, Jesus-edifying time. Search for Calvary Chapel Coastlands in your app store to download. We'd love to hear how Anchored in the Word has touched you personally, so please feel free to give us a call at 732-544-2225. Let us know, too, how we can be lifting you up in prayer. We're honored to be able to do this for our listeners. That number again is 732-544-2225. You can also connect with us on Facebook. Find a link at anchoredintheword.com. That's all we have time for today. From all of us on the production team, we want to say thanks for joining us. May you be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.